Okay, which Neon Talk version is this?
28.
28.
We are at 28.
Wow.
Welcome.
Amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
So today...
Today...
As we layer our lives with music, we have a little Night Train. This is a classic by Mr. Oscar Peterson and his trio, so get ready for that.
Coming live from the... From Signal Hole in Kansas City, Missouri, specifically my garage, the neon beat.
Yeah.
Thank you, Casey. The neon beat. It's my daughter over here coming up behind me, who is getting on camera.
Yeah.
And helping out with the rabbit ears. This would be Joe Domino, the guy who does neon jazz, who's the host of Neon Talk, and I'm sort of along for the ride by virtue of being the engineer, and hopefully you're able to hear us this time.
Yeah.
As we have, we're using his adapter instead of mine. I'm the engineer. I'm supposed to have the one that works. It doesn't. What do you do?
It's all about the adapters in life.
I guess so.
You know?
Adapters everywhere.
Every single place. So, Oscar Peterson.
Yes, one of my favorite jazz artists.
You want to start out with Night Train?
Sure, that's a good jazz standard. See if I can find it here.
Let's see, we got Ray Brown on bass, Ed Thigpen on the drums, and this is a classic. This was a trove that I just got recently, so it's good. As we get ready to kind of cue this up here, I got to say, the Charlie Parker celebration, my beautiful girlfriend Amanda and I went to the Folly on Saturday and caught the live celebration with Devon Pennicott and Sullivan Fortner, and David Bassey was the host. It was awesome.
He and Amanda are texting me from the location. I, of course, had to do something else. So you got the glory. I got to sit there, and at least you texted me with what was going on.
We got the stories.
I need to get out more, man.
It's okay.
Somebody's asking me, what do I do with my evenings? And I say, I have lots of dreams about flying, man.
You're flying all the time.
Well, not in the sense you're thinking of, right. You know. You feel like you're working all the time. You have lots of dreams about, yeah, never mind.
Well, you got to have your dreams. But that's the only way.
My dreams are getting better all the time.
That's right. See?
Hey, that might make a nice hit song.
It should. That sounds awfully jazzy.
Yeah.
My dreams are
always flying. It might
actually
work. Unless we're still around, I'd ask him.
That's right. So the only thing that may have been a little wonky was there was only four people at the 21 Horn Salute at his gravesite Saturday morning.
Oh, really?
And I think there's some years where it's good, there's some years where it's thin, but I think that the thing is, I was talking to Ken Laverne, he's a Hammond B3 player here in KC, he plays at the Green Lady, and we were talking about Charlie, and the thing that I'd like to bring out whenever I talk about this is, what would Charlie think if he knew that everybody was doing this? After all this time, after 35 young years on this planet, that he left that kind of an impact, because he ripples through every ounce of music that's out there. Do you think he would be blown away by the fact that we devote a week here, Birdland's still thriving, and the world talks about him all the time?
I think he would be. I may have shared this before. Now, this is another genre of music. If you were talking to Johnny Cash,
right,
or Jerry Lee Lewis, or what was becoming the rockabilly movement,
right,
they've all admitted, Kris Kristofferson, any of this bunch, all admitted they didn't see their fame even coming along,
right,
or let alone the genre of the rockabilly that they were doing,
right,
would become the basis for rock and roll.
I think that
Memphis sound.
Well, I guess the example I was pointing out when I was talking to him was Miles Davis.
When
he did that 60 Minutes interview and they were talking to him about all these genres, when he was done with it, he was out. Like, he didn't want to talk about bebop anymore. And when he was done doing his, you know, electric jazz kind of thing and kind of getting more into R&B later in his life, he just wanted to move on. He was tired of talking about Sketches of Spain and that era. It seems like these guys want to move on, but at the same time, there has to be a healthy reverence for the fact that at the end of the day, they made something that was indelible. You know?
A lot of the great stuff was by guys that were just doing that thing we do. Doing that thing you do.
That's right.
And you're out there doing it, and I think it may be directly proportional to the amount of passion and love you give to it.
Right.
Because if you're, coming off a cold.
Right.
If you're really into what you do, you're not thinking about whether people are really paying attention.
you know, it's interesting.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, yeah, I would set out my cup once in a while. You could drop some change in it.
Right.
But I got a next-door neighbor I've talked about who sits out on his porch and plays guitar. You can hear him strumming down the street.
Right.
That's not why he does it.
Right.
He's just baying at the moon is what
that's right.
What I tell him.
That's right.
I told him once, I said, you ought to go saxophone. That way you could actually say that.
Yeah, right, right. So this morning over a cup of coffee, Amanda said, there was a local DJ that said that U2 is overrated. And my thought on that is, yeah, U2 technically isn't the best band out there. But over the years, the force by which they've done what they've done, the fortitude that they put into what they've done, the longevity, the fact that they stayed together and they continue to put out great albums all the time, there's something to be said about that. Because listen to Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan didn't have a voice. He wasn't a guy that you're like, I'm craving that classically trained sound of Bob Dylan screaming into a microphone. He did something because it had its place in American history. Uh-huh. He had a voice. He had the lyrics. He had a poetry that spoke to the revolution of this country.
Yeah. Can we get Joni Mitchell on the phone here?
Hold on.
Right quick.
Let me see.
she would undoubtedly have a few things to say.
I would think so.
Want a little tete-a-tete there.
That's right.
About Bobby Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
But I can think of a couple of guys like that, too. Well, the Stones.
Yeah.
Rockin'est grandpas in the free world,
right.
as I heard Conan O'Brien call him here the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, their new album's going to be called Hey You, Get Off of My Lawn.
Right now.
My colostomy bag has been shattered.
That's right. Oh, man, I like it. But that's the same kind of band, too. Those guys weren't technically...
No. I mean, let's face it, even the Beatles. But
right.
It was, the whole thing was timing.
It's luck.
Timing.
It's nostalgia. It's everything. But those guys, the Beatles, more specifically than anybody else, they maturated so well together. They gelled so well.
Yeah.
I mean, same with
the Stones.
Yeah.
Just doing that thing they do.
Doing that thing they do. And you don't see a lot of those arena, big, huge bands like that anymore. I mean, you got the Foo Fighters that are filling stadiums. Coldplay's still doing it. But as far as like big bands like that are doing it. Oh my God. It's 10% battery.
We better hurry up. You've got a low battery there.
That's right. So I got another one right here.
Ah, okay. So that got your low battery right here. There you go.
All right. So, yeah, we're talking about big, huge arena acts, but we're, you know, talking about jazz, too. And you talk about something where you have to do it because you love it. You know, the crowds don't flock to jazz like they used to, but it's all about the love. These guys, jazz is alive and well because people love it, and so do the musicians. Everyone involved.
And I would say that's sort of our calling, if you will, is to, like yourself, to help people remember the shoulders that the present music is standing on.
Right.
And secondly, we're still doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing that's so key about this week that Charlie Parker was celebrated, is that at the end of the day, it's important for us to keep it alive. We're in Kansas City. We're in one of the four cradles of jazz, and we got to keep that going for the next generation. All the stories, every interview, every recollection, all of that needs to be kept alive. Ahmad Al-Adeen's wife was there giving out awards that night, and she was talking about the memory of him. And as far as like the lore of Kansas City with all the musicians that had rich tapestries of story, he was one of them. And it was good that his name and his legacy lives on. So it's good. That's what we're doing.
Cool.
So
listening to the strains of Oscar Peterson.
That's right.
And the group underneath of us here. Well, I think we're through. Is that the name of the album?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're not listening to Night Train now, but
no. That's
the name of the album.
We slipped in. We went from Night Train to Sea Jam Blues.
And of course, Night Train, when he shows you the album, is actually backwards after the camera translates it. So it's probably backwards.
It's that Beatles lyric that's gone backwards. So with that, speaking of backwards, we got to go forward here.
Yes, sir.
It's probably nice for us to just say,
enjoy the music, my friends.
That's right, my friends.
Neon Jazz.